Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 94 of Tatooine Sons.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Star Wars fans are waiting with both anticipation and trepidation for the release of Jedi Fallen Order on November 15th. We're going to look at everything we know so far about this highly anticipated Star Wars games, along with our hot takes, poll results, and what's coming next week in comics and books.
Execute Order 66.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars, from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, and you're a fan of video games, then you should still definitely pick up Jedi Fallen Order.
But I thought that Star Wars games were kind of lame, is what I understand.
Yeah, this one's not going to be lame.
Alright, we'll see.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
How's it going, guys?
It's going.
I've seen a lot more of you the last few days than
yeah,
I normally
it's been,
do.
Yeah, it's
I fired my employer that last Friday.
That was nice.
It was awesome.
Fired your employer.
Abso-friggin-lutely. I've never felt more like I did that than this experience. I've quit jobs a bunch of times. I've never felt like I said, you're fired to my employer. Like, you don't deserve to even get 2 weeks' notice. I'm done with you.
You can do that legally?
Oh, yeah, there's no legal rules on any of that.
So then where's the rules?
It's a courtesy. They didn't deserve my courtesy. And then, on top of that, so now this is the second time that I've quit this company. All right, yeah. So the first time I gave my 2 weeks' notice, I ended basically amicably with them, and that's before we moved to California. And a week after I quit, the management of the location that I was at started texting me and telling me that they were closing the location down. And it was going to be closed down in, I think, May of that year. And this was like February. And so they ended up, turning it around and saving it. But that was what was going on. So, things were going pretty well as far as, you know, sales within the organization, the location, all that kind of stuff. I was just super frustrated about the way that they were treating their employees, which was garbage. And that's why I'm not going to name the company, because I don't want a lawsuit. No, I mean, that's not going to happen. I didn't get severance. I didn't get anything from them, so I don't owe them anything. But anyway, I'm just going to wait for my last paycheck to come in. Let's just be honest here. And then I'll tell you guys who this company is. But anyway, so I quit Friday morning. I'm like, I'm done. I got nothing for you guys anymore. I'm gone. And then we went to your college program at UCCS.
Same day.
Yeah, literally. I left from work and we got in the car and drove up to the school and went to the engineering program stuff, and it was awesome. And then they had lunch at the cafeteria, college visit type stuff. And I'm sitting there, and my phone starts blowing up. And I find out that they're closing the location down. It's like deja vu all over again. Yeah, they're like December 31st is the last day. 250 people got laid off because there were some inconveniences with the lease, I think, is the reason behind it. But that's what happens when you treat employees
like
garbage.
Yeah.
So anyway, so on that note, we've got lots of options for you guys to help support this family friendly podcast financially.
Yeah.
We're gonna like insert something new in here. This isn't like a financial thing. This is just we figured.
Might as well start talking about it.
Well, I mean, I wanted to make sure that we're getting the news out as to new stuff that's coming out because there's so much Star Wars stuff coming out. Every single week, it's almost impossible to keep up. And then we talk about the big things, the TV series, the movie, of course,
the games and stuff like that.
Vader Immortal.
Yeah.
Literally, there is so much stuff coming out, it's impossible
to keep up with this month and next week, just in general.
I thought, I'm going to go ahead on our podcast, Google Calendar, when we schedule interviews, our guest appearances on other shows. All the stuff that I'm doing on that, I decided I'm going to go through and I'm going to put every book and comic and stuff like that that's released on the date so I know it's coming out on that date. It took me an hour to put all of those events in there. It's unbelievable. So this coming week, we got some awesome stuff that's getting ready to come out. We've got some reference books, which we don't really talk about reference books.
But those are fun.
They are super fun. To see like all the behind the scenes or like detailed stuff that they've come up with. Yeah, you should like an engineer. I can see how that would be awesome. Like the first one right there, Rebel Starfighter's owner's workshop manual reference book.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Like X-Wings, A-Wings, B-Wings.
Yeah, exactly. All the Rebel ships.
That's cool.
And then BB Nate, you might like this one, Star Wars Insider, Aliens, Creatures, and Droids reference book. The question I have is, are there Porgs in there?
I don't know.
And did they talk about the one that Snaps Wexley named called Turbis the Porg?
I'm about to check that out.
Might be interesting to see that. So that's coming out next week. Star Wars Adventures Volume Number 7, which is Pomp and Circumstance. So it's like...
it's a collection of comics.
What does Pomp and Circumstance mean?
I don't know. It's like what they play at graduation. That's the song that they play at graduation. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway. Jedi Fallen Order Dark Temple Number 4 is coming out, the comic, and Target Vader 5. Are you familiar with what Target Vader is all about?
I got three, I want one.
So it's like a bunch of bounty hunters that are like hired to kill Darth Vader.
Huh.
So I guess if you don't have the first step...
I need to get the other comics now.
Yeah, it's like right up your alley on that. So that's pretty cool. And you're going to get, if you're a subscriber to our newsletter, which is a new thing that we're doing now. But if you're a subscriber to our newsletter, you're going to get this breakdown with links where you can go and order them. We're going to try to make it as easy as possible every single weekend. You're going to get that email. It'll give you the breakdown for the week, previous week's podcast episodes, all that kind of stuff. We're having a good time. I'm excited about this. We've got, you know, we had a good launch to the newsletter. We got a good number of people subscribing to it. But we want to see if we can go from, you know, a handful of or a pretty decent number to like 100 in the next couple of weeks. And so what we're going to do is we're going to run a contest. You know, we did this with Patreon, which we're going to actually have the drawing for the contest for Patreon in just a second. But we're going to do a contest. If we can get to 100 subscribers for our newsletter by the end of November, which we're already like 30 to 40 right now. So we're doing good.
Okay.
If we can get to 100, all you have to do is go to, and we'll put the link in the show notes here. So you can just go to the, it's easy. It'll make it as easy as possible. Just go and subscribe. Give us your name and your first name. I don't even need your last name. First name and email address. We'll send you once a week a breakdown of all of our podcast episodes, new stuff that's coming out. We're going to be featuring other Star Wars content creators, YouTube pages, podcasts, fan sites, all that kind of stuff. We're going to be featuring other positive ones in every single issue of this. Of course, then we'll have the breakdown of the new things that are coming the next week. So you with the links where you can just go in and order anything that you guys want to see on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. If we can get to 100 by the end of November, then we're going to do a drawing for a Star Wars Adventures 27 Turbis Edition autographed by the Tatooine Sons. Now, we didn't write this comic, but we gave the name to the stinking Porg in there. So
yeah.
And so have you guys had... I'm gonna put you guys on the spot, and I know the answer to this right now.
What?
And I'm gonna be so embarrassed and ashamed all at the same time as your father. Have you read Star Wars Adventures 27 yet?
Haven't had time.
No, I've been doing this thing called college. And so you should be proud of that.
Either I've been proud of that. School or running around with my mom.
Yeah, but you guys have time. It doesn't take 5 minutes. Will you make a promise that you're going to read it before this episode airs on Friday?
I'll do it tomorrow.
Yes.
All right. It's really fun, guys. Okay. It's so good. Okay. And Turbis is like front and center in every panel. He's a hero. He's a flipping hero. So subscribe to our newsletter on our website.
All of the articles that Mac Prince in.
Yeah, cool. Movie Web, Epic Stream. Yeah. What was the other one? A Screen Rant.
Screen Rant. Yeah.
Did an article on Turbis. We even had one in Spanish.
We did.
I had to translate it on Google Translate. Yeah.
So. We've Got This Covered. Did one.
We Got This Covered. Did a thing.
They did not mention what the story was at all.
And they just mentioned his name. I couldn't even click. I could not even take. I could not even allow myself to click the link to see it. That's how, I don't want to give them any publicity at all because they're such clickbait that I was like, I'm not even going to click this, even though it says. So I shared it, but I shared a screenshot. So it looked like a link. And you know they're trying to click it and they can't get it to click. So
that's very twisted.
It was a little twisted. So anyway, that's what's going on. Now we got a drawing we got to do. So we had our big Patreon push last month, and we got so many new Patreon people that are a part of this. And we have two different drawings that we're going to do. One of them is for a Black Series Constable Zuvio. We'll give that one first. And then the next one, again, Star Wars Adventures 27.
Autographed
by us. So we'll do two different drawings on that. You guys, I don't have any role play or drum roll deal. So can you do it without being obnoxious?
I don't know how that sounds actually on the mic.
Yeah, we don't know what it sounds like on the mic here.
All right, we're going to stop.
Like that kind of thing, right? Let's see who it's going to pick. All right. And the winner of Constable Zuvio, Emily Hoffman.
Yeah.
She's pretty awesome. So we got to remember that. Okay. We got to get her. And I've got her mailing information because she's on Patreon. So cool. Emily. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
We've had this series figure for a while.
Yeah. We got this specifically to do something this. So there we go. All right. So we got one more. Now, I'm going to be honest. Emily's name is in the list for the next one. We got to make a decision right here on the spot. Do you think if Emily happens to be chosen again, that we have to give her the comic as well? It's random. It's completely, I'm looking at random name picker.
Don't think
so. You feel like she doesn't?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I feel like we got to give someone else a chance.
We'll see.
But I doubt that we'll come to the again.
We'll come to
So you want to take her out so there's no chance? Just so we don't put ourselves in a position where we feel like we have to do something? We'll take her out? Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. We love you, Emily, but you want a Constable Zuvio Black Series figure, so that's pretty cool.
Can we sign that too just for fun?
No, we don't want to mess up that one. Yeah. Right? Okay. All right. Here we go. Here we go for the next one. Drum roll. Oh, I hit right click instead of left click.
Yeah.
Anticlimactic. Neil!
Neil Lowry!
Oh, that's awesome. Very excited.
That's perfect.
What do you have to say about that, BB Nate?
Congratulations. That's awesome.
He deserves it.
One of our original Patreon supporters.
Yeah.
A big, awesome. I washed my Turbis hoodie. My Turbis zip up.
Yeah, about time.
Right. It's been a couple weeks, months.
Weeks and months.
So I washed it. So I had to take all the buttons off. Mm-hmm. And I decided I wasn't going to put all 48 buttons back on it.
So many buttons on there.
So, but I picked six. I got my button here from Broaxium because I think those guys are pretty awesome. I've got the Star Wars anti-bullying pin we got
which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I've got my Triple Force Friday button. I've got my what is this? A Purge Trooper. I've got a Hondo Anaka because I like Honda.
Honda.
Well, I like Hondas too. But if anyone wants to give me one of those, that's cool. But the first button I put on here was my Star Wars positivity button that we got from Neil.
I still have that.
And so I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty excited that Neil won.
That's cool.
Awesome. Congratulations. Wow. Very cool. All right. Very. So just before we move on, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Tatooine Sons. It includes over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And so I dug deep into the Audible archives for this one. So Mandalorian comes out next week.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
What are you definitely. Thinking, BB-8?
Oh, I'm really excited, of course.
Okay. So I thought, let's find, and that's Legends, it's not canon, but I thought this would be a good one. If somebody's like getting hyped up for The Mandalorian, then they should check out Star Wars The Bounty Hunter Book 1, The Mandalorian Armor.
All right.
All right.
So that'd be a good Mandalorian book to pick up.
I feel like.
All right. So why don't we talk about last week's, got it right, last week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question till after I've done it. What? No!
All right. Last week's episode was all about Turbis's canon, because that was a pretty big deal, at least in our Star Wars world.
Yeah, it's a little bit important.
There's a lot of people that were pretty excited about it. I was really touched by the well wishes and the kind things that were said. So thank you guys for that. Porgs are front and center in several Journey to the Rise of Skywalker publications, such as Spark of the Resistance, Star Wars Adventures, etc. So the question was, do you think we'll see a porg in the Rise of Skywalker? Turbis is canon, hashtag Star Wars, and then I tagged Turbis in it. Because Turbis has his own Twitter account. You should follow him, at Turbis the Porg.
All right.
That was the first thing I did. On February 1st, 2018, was like, if this ever becomes real, like he becomes canon, we have to have that Twitter handle. So I did that. So anyway, he's canon now. All right. Now, this is a hard one because we got to decide whether or not we actually believe that there's going to be porgs in The Rise of Skywalker. I think I got your vote last week, but let's see where you're at now. Where do you think about this one, BB Nate?
Oh, yes. I feel like there's going to be at least a little bit of a cameo of porgs. Turbis, maybe not, but porgs, yes.
I say if you find a porg on the Millennium Falcon and Chewie is in the room, it has to be Turbis. What do you think, Sam?
Please, God, yes.
Please, God, yes. That was your vote?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like a hoping.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
Yes, it's like, I believe so.
So it's interesting the way that the numbers ran out. So we had yes, no, please God, yes, or no, 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 right?
Okay.
So no, no, no came in fourth place at 8%, and no came in at third place at 9%. So that comes out to, let's do the math here, calculus guy.
17%.
Then we had
35%
said, please God, yes. Like the hopeful, yes, I want to. Mm-hmm. And 48% said yes. So those numbers seem to mirror something that we've been saying on this show since, I don't know, we started.
Yeah.
That is what we call the 80-20 rule of Star Wars fans. 80% of Star Wars fans are positive. They love just about anything. 20% are going to come out with reasons why they don't like anything.
Well, no could just be that you don't think there's a porg in there.
That's true.
You know, it doesn't. The no means like, oh, I do not want a porg in there, you know.
But no could be.
Why did you even give him that option?
Because I wanted to see what the reaction was, right?
It's fun.
So, anyway.
So, we have Glitter Leader as our first comment.
At Glitter Leader. Yes. I think it's Brigantia Libiana.
Why did you have to go and say that?
Because I'm trying to make sure I know how to spell it or say it. But anyway.
Okay. My concern is they have no released merch.
Yeah.
They have sold most merch of any Last Jedi characters by far, so why not make some for the new movie? I am very worried.
I had the same idea.
I think there's a lot.
Well, there's no Rose either.
Of merch, there's very little Rose.
There's one Funko Pop
right.
Rose.
So the point I'm making is there's a lot of Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker merch that has not gotten released yet. We don't know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I could see them throw in some pork stuff.
Not much.
They were pretty tight-lipped with all the merch so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this one is from Tom Rose at Towhead81.
There you go. Okay. Must be blonde. That's what that means when you say you're towheaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, like almost that white blonde hair. That's called being towheaded.
Why does that have anything to do with
I
Tom's?
Have no idea.
Okay. Right. He says, please God, yes, but I don't think they will show up in it. Frowny face.
That makes me sad.
Yeah, I'm almost on in the same boat.
And then we have our Patreon guy, a Jedi Council member, senior producer, Roberto Moreno, which, you know, last week we were joking at the end because we were talking about him and we talked about him being from Sweden. And he's not from Sweden, and he corrected us on there. He's such a good sport about our Americanism, right?
You know, yeah, that's a good term for it.
Because, you know, Americans...
It's very true.
Yeah, it's almost like the way Americans are with language. So you guys might have heard this, but if you speak three languages, you're...
Bilingual.
No, three.
Oh.
Trilingual?
Trilingual, right. If you speak two languages, you're...
Bilingual.
If you speak one language, you're American. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of the same way it is with geography, apparently, at least with us. Roberto Moreno said, I sure hope so. And if he'd be name-dropped in the credits like Jabba in Return of the Jedi, I couldn't stop screaming.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I fear they might settle his storyline in the upcoming adventure comic or other canon material to explain a potential lack of Porgs in T-Ross. I hope you're not implying.
I don't think he'll die.
I got a bad feeling about this.
If Roberto, if your plan,
dark for an all ages comic.
Yeah, they're not going to kill off the cute, adorable.
Maybe all the Porgs stay on Kashyyyk. With the Ewok or with the Wookiees.
Same Ewoks, Wookiees, though.
Same thing, just different sizes.
No, I don't think they will.
The murder bears. No, oh, those are murder
Turbis
bears.
Turbis is too attached to Chewbacca. He always has been. He's been.
I hope that all the Porgs stay except
he's been
Turbis,
his bud,
and Turbis goes with Chewbacca. So there's only one Porg in the Rise of Skywalker.
So if in the Star Wars Adventure series, if Turbis gets on the, if it ends with Turbis and Nienum and Beaumont, which I think is Dominic Monaghan's character, getting in the Millennium Falcon and flying away, and we see a Porg on the Millennium Falcon, then we could pretty much definitively say that that's Turbis. Yeah.
And isn't there already a Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
At Batuu? There's several. Batuu. Yeah, there's
and
several.
And there's even a shadow of one chewing up a Ryer. And so, I mean...
Turbis has been known to chew up electronics.
All right, we got a lot of show to go through, so let's get this thing on the started here. So is Knives Out... just one giant subtweet by Rian Johnson.
I don't know what a subtweet is.
We'll talk about that. How much Star Wars is too much Star Wars?
None.
And are you ready to take on Darth Vader himself?
No.
It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so Rian Johnson says he's still in talks for more Star Wars, which is great.
I thought that's been canceled like four times now.
You know, the one that was canceled was the Benioff and Weiss one.
Ironically, we've got this covered. Released an article that Rian Johnson's trilogy might be canceled after Benioff and Weiss.
Impressive.
Oh, well then,
every word in that sense.
You can pretty much go to the bank with if. Well, I used to say this. I guess I can't say it anymore. That if it's on, we got this covered. It isn't true. But then they talked about Turbis and messed that up. But anyway, Rian Johnson says he's still in talks for more Star Wars, and that angry The Last Jedi tweets helped inspire Knives Out. This is from Deadline.com. This is great.
Deadline's
legit, dude.
Okay, good.
I don't put them in here if they're not legit. Okay. After Rian Johnson made Star Wars The Last Jedi, he faced angry Star Wars fans on Twitter, including some who formed a petition to have Lucasfilm strike Johnson's film from Star Wars canon. Johnson funneled that experience into his new film, Knives Out. The All-Star Murder Mystery has a character, Jacob Thrombey, played by Jaden Martell. I'm not sure who that is.
I don't know.
I think anyway, that's like the super young techie dude.
Probably. Who tweets alt-right hate speech online.
Alt-right means...
like...
super conservative? Or...
or almost like Nazi level.
Okay.
The real hateful...
So you got like... the real far left side, which is alt left, right?
Yeah.
And then there's...
well, I don't know if it's called alt left. It's called the far left, and then you've got alt right, and it's okay. Just... it's all... it's all...
it's almost up. Nazi stuff. Okay.
It's crazy stuff, yeah. Anyway, so he tweets out this type of alt-right hate speech online. So Johnson goes on, he says, anyone who's on Twitter these days, God bless you, because it's rough waters out there. But there's also wonderful stuff about it, Johnson said Saturday at Deadline's The Contenders, Los Angeles. And that's why we're still on it, I guess. That's one of the things Knives Out engages with, the current state of online culture. Whether you made a Star Wars movie or you've had a cooking show, whether you're doing whatever you're doing on there, someone's going to be screaming at you about it probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's put it on a screen in a way we can all maybe have a laugh about it, Johnson added. He says he's also still, in talks with Lucasfilm to make more Star Wars films, though he had no news about them. We're still engaged with Lucasfilm, and we'll wait and see, Johnson said. No updates on it at this moment, but yeah. So, BB Nate, does this make you even more excited about Knives Out?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if I could get any more excited about Knives Out. It's just, I'm really excited about it. I feel like it's going to be an amazing movie, and it
just looks like fun.
It's funny he's talking about how doesn't matter what you're doing on Twitter, it's going to create like craziness.
Right.
I mean, we had some people that were like coming at us over the last couple of days on Twitter. Well, we actually, last week, we were targeted by the Phantom Menace for about 24 hours, which was...
Oh, we were.
It was so awesome.
What were they saying?
Oh, it was awesome. Well, it was they dredged up inconsequential. Okay, so This goes all the way back to right after the last trailer for The Rise of Skywalker came out. Tickets went on sale. They sold more tickets in the first hour on Adam tickets, like 45% more tickets.
Fandango also came out and said
it was number two behind Endgame over for a 24-hour period.
You mean Infinity War?
Infinity War. But it beat Infinity War as well. For the first hour.
Okay.
And so it's a big deal. So I tweeted out as a snarky, sarcastic, absurdity illustrating absurdity
tweet.
Yeah, sort of satire. I said, I declare the Phantom Menace dead, to make fun of all the people within the Phantom Menace that have declared Star Wars dead.
Right.
Right? Like, it's just, you can't say that, right? And the idea is, think about it, guys. If I'm using that as satire to say, you can't say Star Wars is dead because of all these ticket sales, the Phantom Menace isn't dead, but it's just what they're saying is ridiculous.
Irrelevant.
I'm illustrating absurdity.
Yes. Right.
So that went, and it like had about a 6-hour shelf life where people were like retweeting it and saying that was cool. No big deal. Yeah, it was nothing. Then last week, some people dredged it back up, and then they started like attacking us on there. So my experiences, cool. But that wasn't what I wanted to talk about.
It's like, you know, Trump with his old tweets and stuff.
Exactly.
This is fun.
But the other thing to remember from that dad moment here, guys, is everything you put out on social media can come back at you. Yeah. So only put out something that you expect to come back to you. You can ask.
I never post anything on social media.
Yeah, exactly. And you can ask James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy about that. But anyway, actually what I was mentioning, though, was like people were like criticizing the Turbis thing. And like going off on it and stuff like that. It's just silliness. No, I don't think it's jealous. I think it's just the way that silliness is. But Sam, what do you think about this? Do you think that you're going to be really like watching the movie Knives Out this Thanksgiving with sort of this coloring your thinking as far as this character goes and Rian Johnson's, because we know Rian Johnson's experiences on Twitter.
Oh,
we've been living that with him. So what do you think about that? Do you think you're going to be watching the movie and thinking, oh, that's what he's doing here, or that's what he's doing there?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun nod to that. Because all the fans, pretty much the people who really hated The Last Jedi because of Rian Johnson, have said that they're not going to watch anything related with Rian Johnson. So we can put that in there with little to no backlash, because all the people who are there either don't know about it or are fans of Rian Johnson.
But they'll still attack Rian Johnson for the character, even though they don't see the movie on that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I guess the little Star Wars-y part of it, the bigger part, Star Wars-y part on it, is the movie's still happening. Right, he's still in talks,
right,
with them. Star Wars, Lucasfilm, Disney—they're not announcing that Rian Johnson's trilogy is dead. All the Rian Johnson haters are, but the only series that's been announced that's off is the Benioff and Weiss ones. I just want that to be really, really clear. All right, next one: Bob Iger, a crazy Uncle Bob, reiterates his sentiment that less Star Wars is better.
I agree.
We'll talk about this. This is from Gizmodo. Bob Iger is talking about the possibility of Star Wars oversaturation yet again, reiterating what seems to have become official Disney policy. from a certain point of view. In a new interview with BBC Radio to promote his new book, Iger was asked about recent Star Wars movies and explained earlier comments regarding the frequency with which the films were being released. I have said publicly that I think we made and released too many Star Wars films over a short period of time, he said. I have not said that they were disappointing in any way. I've not said that I'm disappointed in their performance. I just think that there's something so special about a Star Wars film, and less is more. Sam, you've already kind of given your opinion, but elaborate further. What's the right amount of Star Wars?
One every year, one every 2 years. That kind of realm. I don't mind if they keep cranking on TV shows. TV shows are a different story. But the problem that I feel like Marvel ran into is the oversaturation. 2 or 3 movies a year. You know, like, I would have to sit there and be like, Nate, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out this month? Marvel movie? And he'd have to, like, confirm that, because I completely forgot. It's so hard to keep track of them all. Now, I guess if it were Star Wars, I would be able to keep track of it. But it just kind of, it's no longer special to go see a Marvel movie.
I honestly think, that 2021 is having 4 Star Wars movies? Marvel movies. Coming out
good
that
grief.
Year.
Yeah, that's and then, like, just too much.
5 series.
That's too much.
But I feel like the right amount of Star Wars we're getting is right now. We're getting a lot of TV shows, a lot of comics. We're getting Vader Immortal. We're getting Fallen Order. This month is awesome.
It's a lot, though.
I'm really liking this month, especially next week. We're getting 2 episodes of Mandalorian and Fallen Order. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. And then the week after that, we get Vader Immortal, which we'll talk about in a second.
It's a lot.
One thing I loved about the prequel era was the anticipation and the build up to each movie. And so I think it was 3 years between each movie. So it was 99, 2002 and 2005.
I think so.
For episodes 1, 2 and 3. That 3 year period was so much fun. To speculate and to get ready, and then going to the midnight premieres and all that kind of stuff. After I had already read the books, yeah. That was a weird period. Those books are so good, though. Anyway, I know I've said that before. I just think that if we could return to some level of that, I think that's going to be great. Yeah. You know, and that's really sort of what's happened with The Rise of Skywalker, if you think about it, because it's been a year and a half. Mm-hmm. That extra, you know, we had December 15, December 16, December 17, May of 18, and now it's been a year and a half. And I remember when Solo came out, we were like, oh my gosh, this is going to... And we had just started a podcast about Star Wars.
Right.
And we're like, what are we going to talk about for a year and a half? Well, we haven't. I mean, there's been a few weekends where we're like trying to figure out stuff. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they've given us plenty. Now with Mandalorian, Kenobi, Cassian Andor series, Clone Wars season 6, and everything else that could be announced coming forward, it's 6.
Okay.
I think that we're going to have plenty of stuff to talk about, but let's reserve the movie experience to being sort of a big fan moment where we come together.
That's why, I mean, in some ways I'm excited for the 3 year hiatus they're having, and then in other ways I'm like, we got a podcast to do.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. So. Last thing, Invader Immortal episode 3, you're finally going to duel Darth Vader.
With their awesome ancient lightsaber.
I know, I love it.
All right, let's talk about it. This is straight from StarWars.com.
Spoiler. Most impressive. If you're, like, don't want to get spoiled.
Yeah, no worries. ILM X-Lab is officially announcing Vader Immortal Episode 3, the final installment in the series, coming November 21st. It was created in collaboration with Facebook's Oculus. I did not know Facebook made Oculus.
Yeah. Which is kind of surprised me at first, too.
Interesting. And will be available for Oculus Quest and Rift headsets. Building on the events of Episode 2, in which the protagonist learned the ways of the Force and recovered an ancient object for Darth Vader, it looks to be a fitting climax in proper Star Wars tradition. Vader Immortal Episode 3 begins with Vader having seized the powerful Bright Star artifact and returned to his castle to activate it, says Snow. Working with your droid companion, Zoe...
It's Zoe.
Yeah, okay. And the Mustafarians, I still think that those guys are have Snoke in there. You need to get back up to the castle and try to stop Vader before he destroys life on Mustafar. This involves you discovering more about the power of your bloodline. Oh, Lord. And using that
you
to...
didn't know that from the second episode?
I did, but... I'm sort of over the bloodline stuff. But anyway, and using that to fight your way through Imperial forces as you break back. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to be totally excited for this. And when it's over, I'm going to be like, that's so cool. But anyway. All right, let me go back here. Let's see. Chill. This involves you discovering more about the power of your bloodline and using that to fight your way through Imperial forces. As you break back into Vader's castle, you even have a run-in with a familiar foe from a previous episode.
Why can't I figure this out? Familiar foe. I don't remember, a specific character. Foe.
I mean, the only specific character I can think of is a Rancor, but...
Maybe...
No, he's dead, though.
He's dead.
We could have shot the rock through his heart.
Ultimately, you'll have to confront Vader face-to-face and try to stop his plans. That's right. A duel with Lord Vader is your destiny. So what do you guys think about the end of Vader Immortal from what you hear?
I was kind of disappointed when I heard the guy in the hood... was confirmed not to be Snoke. That kind of disappointed me.
I was really convinced. He was a cool character, though.
I even looked into his hood, and he had a fully rendered face. So they've drawn his face specifically to make it reveal at some point.
But the Mustafarians look like the same species as Snoke.
Too short and skinny. You're taller than them. In the game, and we saw Snoke to be
we'll have to see.
A solid 2 feet tall.
All right, excited about the final episode or not?
Oh, absolutely. Although I'm not sure I'm ready to take on Lord Vader himself, but...
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to do that a couple times to complete it.
Yeah, I hope they make it challenging.
No, but here's the thing, guys. You can't defeat him.
No.
Think about
it. Something just breaks up between us. Sort of like what happened with Rey and Kylo.
In The Force Awakens?
Something like external force breaks up.
I don't know why they decided to do this series now. I don't know why.
Yeah.
There's something important, I feel like, that's going to happen. We waited so long after the announcement for the first episode.
Yes.
So long.
Well, I think from what I was reading online, there were... they got the first episode out, but they wanted to advance the technology and the gameplay before the second and third episodes in order to
accomplish
certain
things. Which it was improved.
It was, but you gotta think, it was a little bit, maybe a couple months to the second one. And then they're releasing it, I would say, not even a couple months, maybe a month and a half at most. They're trying to pump these things out before Rise of Skywalker.
Well, I think they already had these made because the technology was there. But
I knew the story. The story's already taken care of. Now it's just about completing it.
One thing I'm kind of... I mean, it's not a deal breaker by any means, but I'm hoping they don't make the fight with Vader too easy.
They won't.
Because for me, the games, and I think this is the case for you, the story is especially... The combat is pretty easy.
Well, it's progressed to be more challenging throughout each level.
It's still pretty easy, though, for me. I don't know. That could just be me. But I want the fight with Vader to be, really challenging. You may lose a few times before you're able to figure it out.
Maybe
I want him
to be
this formidable foe that he's been made out to be. You know what I mean?
Well, I hope so, too. I mean, I hope he feels like Vader.
Yeah.
When you're battling him with it. So, awesome.
But again, not a deal breaker.
All right, the history of Star Wars gaming in the Disney era has been mixed at best. The multiplayer experience of Star Wars Battlefront left many fans wanting something better. And while the campaign and the DLC of Battlefront 2 had a great story, the microtransaction fiasco soured many fans on that game. But this coming week, Jedi Fallen Order is being released, and Disney and Lucasfilm are expecting an amazing response from not only Star Wars fans, but general gaming fans as well. Here's what we know now.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
lost. The Empire's hunting Jedi survivors. Now, they know who you are. I can't change the past.
You trespass, Jedi.
But I'm done hiding.
Cal Kestis.
You will always struggle. It's the choice to keep fighting that makes us who we are.
I'm so excited.
I've watched the trailer, but just listening to it, the music's really good.
The music is pretty good on that.
It's really good.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, explain, BB Nate, why you're so excited about
this.
I don't know. I just am really excited.
Like, we were waiting at the car dealership a few days ago, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch that 18 minutes of gameplay that released last week.
See, I haven't seen any of the gameplay.
I watched a little.
The fight with the Ninth Sister was amazing.
The Ninth Sister is the thing.
You didn't see the full thing. You just saw a little bit. And wow. You're climbing on rails and stormtroopers are shooting at you. You're having to block them while jumping to the other rails. It just seems like a lot to take in. But I'm just really excited. It just seems like a fun game.
So what are you most excited about? I'll start with you, Sam. Are you most excited about the story and how it fits into the greater canon or just the gameplay in general?
Frankly, the gameplay.
Really? Explain.
Well, I mean, the story's awesome, but I'm not super familiar with the story, and I'm not sure how much of an impact it's going to have. But it's been a while since I've had like a single-player game that I've really wanted to play. I'm really excited for this story. Nathan, you played the Batman Arkham games a lot lately, which are single-player driven story games, but I haven't really done that lately, so I'm like really excited for this. And again, the combat and the gameplay and the puzzles, I mean, it just looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
And what about you, BB Nate? Is it the story or is it the gameplay?
I'm excited for the gameplay more, but why I'm holding back on the story is because they are releasing one thing. You're a Jedi during Order 66's...
Just after Order
66. They're not releasing much more.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something impressive, like very important.
It's funny. I'm standing here and I'm listening to us talk about that element. And I remember when we first heard of this game. Do you guys remember where we were when we first heard about this game?
No. In California.
We were in California. We were sitting in the hotel waiting for Alex Dame and Molly Damon to come down for us to go to Scum and Villainy.
Oh, yeah.
And they had just announced it at EA Play.
Yeah.
And that's all we knew. There's a game coming out. It's called Jedi Fallen Order. And it's going to be with this Padawan after Order 66, and we were like speculating if it was going to be like Ahsoka or Kanan.
We thought it was Kanan.
Yeah. So here's the storyline. We'll break down, you know, some of the different elements of it and talk about some of the fun things that we know about it so that you as listeners can be fully understanding about everything you need to know about this game before you actually go out and shell your, $70 or more. We spent like 90 bucks because we wanted the official Black Series.
That is the Second Sister. We asked because they release a Second Sister for Force Friday. But he said that this one's very special.
Huh.
They're not releasing why it's
special. At GameStop only, yeah.
So, just a quick side note. Do we know how long the game is? Like for an average player?
They say it's pretty long. They say somebody was playing it for 3 hours, and I think they didn't even get past, like,
the... I've heard that one of the puzzles took someone, like, 2 hours. But I just want to know, is it going to be a six-hour story? Or I'm hoping, which sounds daunting at first, but I'm hoping it's more of, like, an 18-hour game.
We'll have to see.
Because it is strippy.
There's a part of me that kind of hopes that it's not. All right, so here's the storyline. It's set a few years after the Revenge of the Sith. One of the last surviving Jedi, Padawan Cal Kestis, played by...
Cameron Monaghan.
Yep.
Monaghan.
He was in Gotham.
Yes.
As Joker.
He's Joker in Gotham. Okay. Cal Kestis has so far escaped the galaxy-wide purge of the Jedi Order started by Order 66 and is on the run from the Galactic Empire after attempting to salvage a Venator-class Star Destroyer. above a Sarlacc pit.
That's kind of funny.
An accident happens in which Cal has to openly use the Force to save one of his friends from falling into the pit, which is witnessed by a nearby Imperial probe droid.
I saw that in, like, the first
trailer. Yeah, but understanding the idea is a little bit different here. The droid transmits the footage to the Empire, causing Cal's true identity to be revealed to the Imperials. The Empire dispatches the Second Sister, an Inquisitor trained by Darth Vader, to hunt down the Padawan and eradicate the remaining Jedi Knights. Thoughts?
It's kind of funny about the whole Sarlacc pit thing, because EA just asked players in Battlefront 2 to stop jumping in the Sarlacc.
Yeah, people are just doing that.
Just to see what happens.
just for fun. So, like, everyone's just killing themselves every game. Anyway, no, it seems like it's just a good way to start out the story. It's interesting. It seems like he's just, like, a guy who works on a salvage crew, you know.
But he's a Padawan. He's a former, I mean, he was training to be a Jedi.
Right.
So he's very Kanan-esque.
At this point.
So it's curious. It'll be curious to see how that all plays out with it. Excited to see the Second Sister. We saw her in the comics in the Darth Vader Lord of the Sith.
Was
of
course, she in the?
She
was.
Yeah, okay. Along with the Ninth Sister, which we've seen in the trailers,
and she was in the comics too. Yeah, absolutely. I remember her.
Yeah, she was a big character. She got, like, her arm cut off, and she's back in this thing, and it's after that.
I thought she was killed.
No, arm was cut off.
Just her arm was cut off. Oh, okay.
Which is a classic Star Wars
movie. Very classic. Right? But it wasn't, like, just the hand. It was, like, her full arm.
Yeah. Anyway. By Vader, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was by Vader. He was training the Inquisitors, and he was just, like mauling them. And who was it? It was one character. I think it was some Moff. Was like, you can't just keep doing this. They're not going to be effective. He's like, they're still, holding on to fear. They need to learn to let go. And I'm like, that's intense.
Yeah.
That
Charles Soule series is worth diving into if you haven't.
I want to read it again now.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the gameplay, because, of course, we won't know this plot of the story until next week. When we spend all weekend purging binging it as we play.
Literally all weekend.
Yeah.
I will spend a full day.
Am I taking Friday off? So we could do this.
No, because I have a thing called school still.
Friday you don't. So.
Yeah, but I still got to do school.
That's true. I'm so proud of you and your commitment. Anyway, gameplay.
It's not a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Players take control of Cal Kestis, portrayed, again, by Cameron Monaghan. There it is right there. As he attempts to survive while being chased by the Empire, including the Inquisitor, the Second Sister, throughout his journey, young Cal will visit both new worlds and iconic ones from Star Wars lore, such as Kashyyyk, with the assistance of the rebel extremist Saw Gerrera, portrayed by Forrest Whitaker. I'd forgotten about that. That's pretty cool. And his mentor, Siri Junda, portrayed by Deborah Wilson. The gameplay is that of an action-adventure game designed for players to jump into a situation and deal with it through having a lightsaber and force powers, not to utilize stealth elements to avoid combat.
So it's not a stealth game. Okay.
Explain.
Like, there are certain games like Batman in some ways, and then one game was Metal Gear Solid that was really popular at that, where the idea was to sneak past the enemies or take them down silently to avoid a fight as much as possible. Sometimes, if you got detected, you just get a fight and you'd have to finish it without dying, but it was significantly more difficult. And then sometimes if you were caught, you just lost the mission right there. So this one
is intended, TVNA, for you to be like, to go at the enemy and to...
Yeah.
Based off of some of the gameplay I've seen you fighting a pack of stormtroopers, walking a couple feet, and then fighting some creatures, and then walking another couple feet, fighting the swarm.
So it's battle. That kind of reminds me of The Force Unleashed.
Force Unleashed?
There wasn't a lot of sneaking around in The Force Unleashed.
There was no sneaking around in The Force Unleashed. No, it was pretty combat heavy.
What this seems like is you're always ready for a battle. Like, literally. You're fighting these creatures you walk past. Say you use some parkour, jumping on the walls, and then you're fighting a stormtrooper pack. It just seems like there's not going to be a dull
moment. I mean, it was the same way with Force Unleashed. Although, Force Unleashed didn't really have puzzles, per se. I think we might get into that here in a minute. But there are puzzles in this game.
The only puzzles that were in Force Unleashed were figuring out where you needed to go next.
Yeah, okay.
That or trying to find
Because I'm not used to playing games with puzzles. You guys have been mentioning these puzzles the last few times we've talked about this. And I was like, puzzles? There's puzzles in these games?
It's like the Uncharted games.
Oh, well, I've never played any.
I know, I understand that. Basically, there's just like sometimes you have to jump.
Is this going
to
pull me back into playing games?
Probably.
Oh my gosh.
But like, you might be jumping from platform to platform or having to do things in certain sequences or looking for things. And sometimes the game puzzles can be really complicated. Like, okay. Legend of Zelda puzzles are something else.
Well, there's not an option to play a dark side path through the game, which people are like losing their mind over.
You can't have two different stories.
Well, you could, but not when the game is canon.
Right, that's what I'm meaning.
Like, Old Republic, you had that choice. I always tried to get Lysad. I always tried.
Well, that's because you're a good person at heart. Okay. In combat, force usage consists of three different abilities. Force push, force pull, and force slow.
Now, so you only have three abilities. That's kind of limiting.
Based on the gameplay that I've seen, the force slow looks a lot like a untrained version of the force freeze from Kylo Ren.
It is the same move.
The object you push, you slow down, is shaking. A lot like the things that he slows down. Like the object, like the laser bolt. Like, it was kind of, like, shaking. It kept shaking. And this one, it's, like, keeps moving, yes, but it's, like...
It's a lot slower. It is the exact same move as Kylo Ren, just not as...
Trained.
Yeah.
Because he's not trained.
Refined.
Interesting. Okay. So here's some fast facts on Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. First, there's a morality... As far as the morality system goes, there's no moral choices. It's just light side only. So
that's good.
There's not going to be any of that. It is open world. Jedi Fallen Order won't be it won't be open world, but will still have exploration and puzzles. So it's not going to be like it's not an open world game like what are some of the others that you guys have talked about?
Spider-Man, Batman. There's a few others. I think that it is open world in a way. I think what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to go from planet to planet. And explore those in a way, but it won't be like one map that you explore, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like one major map, like Batman.
Like the planets, you're going to be going through story missions a lot like in Arkham Knight. You go through Gotham. You can change different missions. This one, I feel like when you're in the story, you're in the story. No side missions that you can choose. I don't know if it's going to be like that. But after, on one of the planets, it looks just like a flat plane. And if they've rendered all of that, then you can have a giant open world planet that you can explore, do side missions on, and puzzles, and say gain new kyber crystals and all that kind of stuff. Speaking of kyber crystals, orange kyber crystal is now officially canon in Star Wars.
How'd this happen?
This game.
Oh, it's in this game.
Yeah, you can change.
You can choose it
to
orange.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
My favorite's always been yellow, and you could still change it to yellow, but...
Yeah?
Okay, interesting. Cool. There's, it is, of course, single-player only, so there's no multiplayer options, so you have Battlefront 2 stuff going on.
Okay.
Are you guys okay with that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's not an online element to this, then?
No.
Okay,
you could just take it at the hotel and not hook it up to Battlefront.
Games now more and more are requiring a connection just for updates.
Well, I'm just talking about like online gaming where you like go up against other people and all that. So there's none of that going on. And then, thank God, no microtransactions.
That really upset people with Battlefront 2.
That did.
Which a lot of people vowed to never play a Star Wars game again because of that, which is pretty sad. And
this doesn't really mean we might get some story DLCs. But there's one thing that makes me think we won't more, because they're not having any season passes either.
Well, they might have DLCs, but I don't think they'll charge money for it.
No, they might just be free DLCs like The Last Jedi one.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I mean, if they don't complete the story, if they leave it with a cliffhanger, we'll know that there's more coming. We just don't at this point. There was some reviews. I found three reviews that I kind of thought gave some interesting points to it. One was from Dorian Parks at Collider. By the way, we'll just throw out some congratulations to Ken Knapsack, the new official host of Collider Jedi Council. We're excited about that. Good to see that show with a light side positive or anchor kicking in on that. So we're excited about that. Dorian Parks Collider review says, this is just a little segment from his review. Jedi Fallen Order feels like a culmination of other major AAA titles like Uncharted, Assassin's Creed, and Dark Souls.
I'd agree with all of those.
The biggest takeaway I got from this game was how accessible it is for everybody. A diehard Star Wars fan could play this and love it, but an average gamer could pick it up and still have a blast. What does that make you think about that?
It's great because, I mean, if somebody just wants to play a good game, they can pick this up. I mean, we're getting a kind of a lack of good games that a lot of people can play right now, especially
this type of a game, this style of a game.
It's been very difficult for people on, say, PC, computer, and stuff to play EA games because Steam refused to give them. Now, their partnership is going to be made with their first game releasing, going to be Jedi Fallen Order.
So PC players will be able to access Battlefront 2,
all these games. It's starting with their first release as Jedi Fallen Order.
Which is huge, because that's a whole other audience.
I also like the fact, you know, I'm hoping that more than just non-Star Wars fans and Star Wars fans can play this. I'm hoping it'll be a good entry point for guys like me that haven't played a lot of games over the last 15, 20 years with it. And so I'm hoping that that's the case.
They've talked about how it'll
have different, like, difficulty levels and stuff.
Yeah, for every level of play.
I hope also that if I get sucked into the game and I enjoy playing it on the easiest level, which is the way I'm going to have to play
story mode.
Exactly. And I get through it, then I will have developed some gaming skills, which will allow me to go to do it again with a more difficult level and stuff.
Games, when you've completed the game, they'll unlock, well, if you do it on you complete it on a certain difficulty, it'll unlock like an ultra difficulty. Or it'll unlock a new mode where there's new stuff in there. Like new little things to explore.
And a great thing about this is the age rating is teen. And I know that it probably wouldn't have been M from no stretch of the imagination. But it's perfect for the generation that Star Wars is trying to reach to right now.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're telling me that Star Wars is really kind of built for kids?
Kind of. Yeah. Like 12, 13 year olds.
But I appreciate that it's still like... adults are still totally able to play.
And we watched the trailer before the show. The launch trailer. Visually, it's absolutely stunning.
It is pretty good. EA,
I mean,
say what you will about EA and what they do with their games, like, choice-wise. They make their games look really nice.
Yeah, it looks great. Matt Cox, another reviewer, said, I want to explore, like, everywhere. I didn't expect that to be the main takeaway of my Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order hands-on preview. But here we are, amongst the windswept vistas of Zepho, or careening down its ice caves, or clambering around the crumbling red stone of a temple on Dathomir.
What?
Yeah. The temple behind Titanfall 2... The team behind Titanfall 2 have built some more beautiful worlds for me to jump around where I don't simply hop from A to B.
Dathomir is a surprise. I think they may have been announced before.
Well, it looked like there was a Night Sister in the launch trailer.
That did look a lot like a Night Sister.
And Alex Damon from Star Wars Explained basically has said it's a Night Sister.
Okay. Yeah, he pretty much knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And since you're excited for gameplay, speaking of an ice world... there are going to be some caves where there's going to be straight ice going down. You're going to have to be sliding on them while jumping to other ice. You're going to be...
So there will be platforming challenges. Yes.
Ooh. That's what that's called?
Yes.
A platforming challenge?
Mario is called a platformer game. It's all about jumping into platforms and stuff.
Why do I suddenly feel like I'm 94 years old listening to you guys talk about this stuff?
You've
been a great dad.
Oh, nice.
That was good, Nate.
Yeah, that's awesome. That good. And then our buddies over at Variety, they're pretty reputable. While too much of the plot can't be revealed or uncovered in only 3 hours, that's how long they got to play it. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Actually. Yeah, absolutely. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order already stands out among Star Wars games by rewarding exploration and thoughtfulness in combat. Fallen Order seems challenging without being inapproachable.
Yeah, I've heard that everybody with a hands-on preview has only been able to play 3 hours.
Well, that's the max that they've allowed them to play.
Yeah. That's not long. Or, I mean, that's actually a pretty decent amount of time.
But if they're only letting them play 3 hours, that's a decent amount of time. That means there's a lot more to come.
Yes.
But, that's basically what the Variety thing. There's not much that they saw in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Of playing.
That means there's going to be a lot of puzzles and a lot of combat and stuff to get through.
What I like is they say it rewards exploration and thoughtfulness in combat, which is good because exploration is just fun because you get to find little Easter eggs and things like that and extra power-ups and stuff. But what I like is the thoughtfulness in combat because a lot of times games like this where it's primarily single-player combat driven, it can get pretty repetitive with the games. You just know it's like one sequence of moves that pretty much deals with any bad guy you come across and you just keep doing it, which isn't fun. I appreciate that if you mix it up with different characters, you'll get different results and things. And from what I've seen so far is it's a lot less of a button mash, just keep pressing the buttons to the enemies on the ground. It's a lot more you're going to have to wait for your moment, your window, then attack, wait again, then attack, which I appreciate because that's going to keep it, exciting.
And you can parry in this game, so basically that means you can counter. But you're going to now have parry windows, parry time.
Yeah.
It's time to recharge your parry. So that means, like, if you're going, say, this happens a lot with creatures, creatures that will attack you, maybe they'll jump at you. You can, like, hold your, say, lightsaber in their mouth so that they don't bite you or hit you. That's a parry, but sometimes another one will attack you and you won't have time because you haven't recharged yet. Mm. Now, it's very short time if you're playing the easiest difficulty, but the hardest one, I think it's like maybe 5-6 seconds.
Which is a long time in a game.
Interesting.
For combat, at least.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple things that we'll mention. One for our international, everybody that's listening to this all across the world, you know, that comes out on the 15th. When this episode airs here today, you can go into the show notes and you can find a link where you can purchase it on Amazon.com. Go ahead and get it in whatever format you want. If you use the link that's on our site, it's going to cost you the same amount no matter what, you know, if you go directly to Amazon or you come through us. But if you purchase it through ours, it's going to help fund the show. So that would be awesome of you. And then if you're in the Colorado area and you're listening to this, GameStop on North Academy right there by Buffalo Wild Wings, easy to find. You can find the address in the show notes as well. From 6 to 10 p.m. on the 14th, they're having a big release party. It's going to be 200, 250 people there. And we're going to be doing a live show for about an hour from the party, celebrating our love for Star Wars and especially our excitement for Jedi Fallen Order. So make sure you guys check it out. I guess that's going to do it. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
So we finally know who Ming-Na Wen is playing in The Mandalorian. She's a merciless sharp shooter named Fennec Shand.
Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, one of Kandra Club, the official last name of one of the characters in Kandra Club is Shand. Spelled the exact same way. It's a guy. Yeah. Anyway. Star Wars is getting a Kabuki adaptation to celebrate the rise of Skywalker. What Japanese, like, musical theater type dance weird thing. They tell stories that way. Kabuki theater with masks and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
They're actually making a Star Wars version.
I genuinely want to see that because I could be exposed to culture while still know what the heck's going on.
There you go.
Okay, John Boyega believes Anakin Skywalker is a better Jedi than Rey. I think we can all agree with this because he's more trained.
I disagree with it all together.
Because he's the chosen one.
I have not touched it. I have seen this Twitter feed.
Oh, I'm sure it's
and the Facebook
horrible.
Feed, and I am not touching this one with a 10-foot pole.
It's toxic.
It's not good. All right, this week's podcast poll of the week, that's going to be about Jedi Fallen Order. When are you planning on picking up Jedi Fallen Order? We've already ordered it. That's one of the options. First week, eventually, or never. Share your thoughts in the comments below on that. That'll pretty much do it for this week's show.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. We want to reach out and thank all of our amazing Patreon supporters, especially our producers, Michael Condon, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, who just won a...
Congratulations.
Constable Zuvio,
yeah. Eric McGilvray, Ian Thompson, and our newest Star Wars Doctrine from last week. And then our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers, Judith Jesse, and Roberto Moreno from Switzerland. And this is the way I remember it now. Swiss cheese, not Swedish meatballs.
Okay.
Sorry. That's all.
If it works,
it works. You know? With that. Hey, listen, we mentioned it earlier. If we can get to 100 subscribers on our newsletter, which you can go into the show notes here, or you can go to our website and wait for the pop-up to come up, and it'll tell you how to do it. If you subscribe, if we can get 100 of them, we're going to be giving away an autographed copy of Star Wars Adventures 27, autographed by us, not the writers.
Because, we can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not nearly as exciting.
No, we named him. Yeah, exactly. with that. So make sure you do that. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/TatooineSons. Help support family-friendly Star Wars content. It really does mean a lot to us. Helps us tremendously. We're all over social media. Man, I'm having a hard time talking right now. I'm losing my voice. Thanks. We're all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, at Tatooine Sons. That's where you're going to find us.
S-O-N-S.
S-O-N-S. Yeah, like kids, not flinging stars. Balls of gas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. And then please, we're not on Snapchat because I don't know how that thing works.
Are there podcasts on Snapchat?
I know lots of podcasts are on Snapchat.
I know that really? Disney Plus is gonna have a Snapchat.
Yeah, there's I don't get it. I don't get Snapchat. Yeah, but anyway, and then give us some reviews. We didn't get any this week. We'd love to have some for next week. So if you've listened to this point, it's really easy. You just go into your thing and give us a review right now. Yeah. And be awesome that way.
With it's our review. Oxygen.
It is our your feedback is our oxygen.
True.
In the immortal words of Gary Vaynerchuk. All right. Okay. I guess that's pretty much it. Anything else?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yup, yup.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Well, it's actually my lawn that needs help.
No problem. Try this grass seed.
Okay, sounds good.
And some fertilizer. And of course, a soil enhancer. Try these to start.
To start?
Lawn care doesn't have to be complicated. With everything you need for a lush, healthy lawn all in one bag, Pennington Lawn Booster gives you quicker, thicker, greener grass guaranteed. Pick up a bag of Lawn Booster today at the Home Depot.